You're listening to WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly. Happy to be with you guys in another episode. Thanks for joining me. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the YouTube channel and download the podcast wherever podcasts are available. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all that good stuff, man. Greatly appreciated. A few things I want to get into today. The NCAA came out with some new rules. Dak Prescott and his anthem protests, or his anthem comments, man, y'all guys seem to be trying to get him the hell out of here. But first, I want to talk about the WNBA. August 3rd, the Las Vegas Aces were set to take on the Washington Mystics. Due to some travel issues, the Aces ended up traveling for 25-plus hours. They got to Washington 4 hours before the game was set to take place. And an hour and a half before the game was scheduled to tip off, Aces said, we're not playing. We're tired. We're hungry. It's not safe. Game was canceled. I was highly disappointed in the WNBA players. I think they made a grave mistake in doing so. Listen, if you don't think enough of your league to show up, why should anybody else? Man, I thought they set a bad example. These sporting events, so many people are counting on them. So many things go into putting one of these shows on. You can't just show up an hour and a half before and cancel it. Now, I know there were trials and tribulations. The travel wasn't ideal. But there's a saying in Hollywood, right? The show must go on. Now, I've worked in professional sports, and I could tell you, canceling a game, that's never an option. That's not something we're trying to do because we understand all that goes into it. The arena, the security, the state, the city, the world is counting on this. That's no exaggeration. My first experience with a professional team was the New York Rangers Hockey Club. They play in Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. And when I first walked into the locker room, I saw plastered on the door the pregame schedule. Man, that thing was itemized to a T down to the second. That's when I realized, oh, this sports stuff is big business. So let's take into account the game that got canceled. Chances are they had a singer getting ready to sing the national anthem. The team might have paid them, might have flew them in. That singer might have been promoting an album and using that opportunity as promo. What happens to that opportunity? Can't count on that promotion. So now, album sales may dwindle. That's a financial impact for that artist. Right? What about the kids we were going to have bring the balls to the referee? What about the halftime show we had planned? What about the veteran we were going to honor and we were going to surprise visit his family and put that together? All of that stuff is down the drain. All of those people are disregarded. What about the fans that are showing up? Okay, disregarded. So what, you fund them a ticket? Are you going to fund them the hotel they paid for? Right? How many times have you set to take a vacation and you incorporated a sporting event? Yo, honey, let's go visit New York. Let's go on the 7th. No, let's push it back to the 14th when the Giants are playing. That's how big these sporting events are. What about the guy that brought a skybox because he was entertaining business clients tonight? Can't count on that money. It's squandered. The WNBA, the Las Vegas Aces, they spit in the face of all these people. All these people are counting on you. What about the people that work concessions that are counting on that overtime, counting on that work to pay their mortgage, to pay their child care? That's down the drain. The emergency care workers, the police, the security, down the drain. And I hear backlash. Well, this is the way WNBA players, they should be on chartered jets. Okay. Chartered planes. Okay. If you heard this podcast before, you know that I've worked with the New York Yankees last year. If you don't remember, I worked in the travel department. Trust me, I know all that it entails moving a professional franchise around. The Yankees, one of the most recognizable franchises in the world, one of the highest value. You better believe we flew chartered. Man, that charter life, man, I miss it. Yo, you get your appetizer, you get your main course, fish, beef, veggie, you get your dessert, champagne. You could tell a student, yo, miss, can you fluff this pillow for me? It's the high life, trust me. But even with chartered planes, there are issues. I got nightmare stories for days. I remember being in an airport hangar with Aroldis Chapman and Aaron Judge just staring at each other. Because you know what? Port Authority said, your bus driver does not have his license. He's not coming in here. Port Authority knew we were the New York Yankees. Port Authority knew Aaron Judge was having a historical season. They didn't care. So I bring that up to highlight, even with chartered flights, there are going to be issues. But the show must go on. Canceling the game was never an option. Hell, the Yankees had issues this year. I called my old supervisor. I'm like, yo, y'all doing all right? He's like, man, well, it's crazy. The Yankees had to sleep in a Delta lounge. Yo, them airplane seats are not big enough for Judge, Stanton, CeCe to fly in, let alone sleeping, but they had to. And guess what? No games got canceled. Because in pro sports, we understand how much is riding. It's more than just a game. The television partners have negotiated to carry these games. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of weight. A lot that you're responsible for as a professional athlete, as a franchise. You can't just throw that away on a whim. So, ladies, chartered jets is still not the answer to everything. There are issues. But you know what? We show up. The show must go on. And another thing, minorities, whether you black, Muslim, or in this case, females. One of my frustrations is when you highlight a place, a status, a perch that you want to reach, but you neglect to acknowledge the trials and tribulations to reach said perch. Case in point, back to the chartered jets. The WNBA highlights that the men fly chartered. Yep, LeBron, Kobe, Melo, Chris Paul George, Russell Westbrook, Clay, Steph, they ride in chartered jets. Yes. I'm not going to tell you they fly in that because they make more money. No, I could save that card for another argument. They fly in those jets because Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain, Bob Cousy, Walt Clyde Frazier, Earl Monroe, Moses Malone, Charles Barkley, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson made the sacrifice. They were willing to ride in cramped up buses. They were willing to ride trains. They were willing to ride commercial airlines. But they still showed up bruised, battered, tired, hungry. In small towns too. Syracuse, Buffalo, Rochester. But they still showed up. And in turn, their fans rewarded them. Their fans rewarded them and made them one of the biggest leagues in the world. So ladies, you can't talk to me about what is going on in a league that's been around since 1946. You guys are a fledgling league just getting ready to spread your wings. You can't compare your two. This is your early stages where you have to really buckle down and sacrifice and help grow the league. Similar to the way Will Chamberlain and the early guys did. You don't start out on third base. You have to work to that status. So I was extremely frustrated with that decision. I thought you guys made a grave mistake. You fractured the trust you have with your fan base. I'm telling you, many a days at Yankee Stadium, we sat in that stadium while it's raining, bored, Like, can y'all just cancel the game now? No, there's procedures. There's long procedures because we don't want to cancel it. People are counting on us. TV networks are counting on us. Sponsors are counting on us. Fans are counting on us. So when somebody buys that ticket, they know, man, everything that they can, they're going to do everything they can to keep that game going. Hell, we get mad at LeBron James and Steph Curry when they sit out. The freaking arena's still open. The popcorn's still popping. Things still going on the court. But the star ain't there. We pissed off. Because people are counting on them. Ladies, that you might have did irrevocable damage to your team, to your league. Y'all going to have to fix that. Because now when somebody buys that ticket, they're like, nah. I don't know, man. Can't trust this. There was a little kid that was counting on going that game tonight. That's his one memory. Like, yo, man, my dad told me he was going to the game. Didn't even take place. Y'all going to have to go a little bit further than just offering free tickets. We behind you, WNBA. We want to see you win, man. But that ain't it. That ain't it. It's your boy William Holly listening to WBH Radio. Dak Prescott, man, you guys are really trying to get him the hell out of here. He had some anthem comments the other day that kind of ruffled a few feathers. I know the black community wasn't really happy with him. I wanna read what he said. Well, at least the first part, rather. He said, I never protest during the anthem, and I don't think that's the time or the venue to do so. The game of football has always brought me such a peace, and I think it does the same for a lot of people. A lot of people playing the game, a lot of people watching the game, a lot of people that have impact of the game. So when you bring such a controversy to the stadium, to the field, to the game, it takes away. It takes away from that. It takes away from the joy and love that football brings to a lot of people. Now, a lot of people were upset. That's not the comments they want to hear in this day and age when players like Kaepernick are fighting to raise awareness about police brutality, things of that nature. That's not what they want to see from somebody like Dak Prescott. But I was still unhappy and embarrassed by the backlash that he faced. Maybe Dak Prescott doesn't know what it feels like to walk through Brooklyn, New York, Bed-Stuy, or Chirac, or the Fifth Ward in Houston, Texas. But where are the leaders to say, hey, son, let me show you something? Why don't we allow him the opportunity to grow? For us to just turn our back and to shame him and to disown him, that's not the way to go. Whoever our enemy is, they're sitting in their high rise with their feet on the desk, laughing at our infighting, laughing at us mocking him and disrespecting him on Twitter to the point where they even had that freaking Get Out painting. Now, that joint was funny as hell, but still, in all, mocking one of our own. I don't think that was the way to go. As I do my research and I study, no matter what group you represent, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's the women's movement, it's Christianity, it's Islam. Hell, if you work in the membership department at Sands Club, your duties are to educate and recruit. So maybe Dak Prescott has lived the charm life and he doesn't know the trials and tribulations of some of our other folks. It's up to somebody to embrace him and pull him in. Somebody to educate him. Hey, let me tell you something. Let me show you what's really going on. So even if he doesn't want to protest today, he could be an asset down the line. Because truth be told, Dak Prescott is 25 years old. He's going into his third year in the league. He's making $700,000. when Kaepernick was at that stage, when he was 25, when he was going in his third year in the league, when he was making $700,000, he wasn't the protester we know today. He wasn't somebody that would get up and articulate his comments and his frustrations with the police. No, he was standing and toeing that line and praising the national anthem like Dak Prescott is. So be easy, man. Get a man the time to grow. But that was the second part to his comments that I want to play for you guys. Boris, if you could play that for me, please.
For me, I'm all about making a change, making a difference. And I think this whole kneeling and all that was all about just raising awareness and the fact that we're still talking about social injustice years later. I think we've got to that point. I think we've proved and we know that the social injustice. So I'm up for taking a next step, that whatever that step may be, for action and not just kneeling. I've always believed standing up for what I believe in, and that's what I'm going to continue to do.
Yo, we going to act like he didn't make those comments? I didn't see anybody really responding to that. Did you hear what he said? He said, I'm ready for the next step, and I'm ready for action. We going to act like that? He didn't just say that. That doesn't sound like somebody that is not a part of the movement. That's somebody that says, hey, I'm ready for the next chapter. He kind of exposed us because nobody knows what the next chapter is. Nobody has a plan. He said the knees, they've raised awareness. It accomplishes job. What's next? Dak Prescott sound like somebody that's down for the movement, right? We've gotten so caught up with this anthem, keeping count of who's doing what and who. That ain't it. Because I don't know about you, what I really want is for people to stop getting gunned down. So if the whole league took a knee tomorrow, I wouldn't feel any safer getting pulled over by the police. We putting so much stock in this knee or not knee, we getting distracted. Dak said, what's next? And nobody has an answer for him. I want to put your protest in perspective. Malcolm Jenkins of the Philadelphia Eagles, when the anthem comes on, he raises little fist, Black Power, yeah, okay. Malcolm Jenkins still owns a Papa John's franchise, helping to line the pockets of those over there. And we know the story of Papa John's, former CEO, right? He helping to line the pockets of the enemy. But he's a protester. So, yo, stop getting distracted by who's taking. LeBron James is standing for the anthem. But y'all love him up and down, right? Y'all believe he's down for the cause, right? So don't disown Dak because he doesn't use that forum. He asked you guys what's next, and nobody seemed to have an answer. So shout out to Dak Prescott, man. Wish he has a healthy year this year. And I don't consider him a race traitor. But I tell you, who is betraying their race? You. You. Now, all seriousness, man. If you are somebody who is a sneakerhead, to this day, you buying all type of Nikes and you got the all type of different bags, Louis Vuitton, Lou Christian Vuitton, is it Givenchy, is it Givenchy? I consider you a race traitor. Because all that money you're spending, it goes to the enemy. It goes to these businesses who ultimately use that money to fund the movement of politicians you don't care about. Politicians you say you don't care about. So you are complicit in funding the people you believe are your oppressor. Seriously. So if you're a sneakerhead, right? If you're a Nike head, you got all type of. That money, I don't care if the sneaker has LeBron names on it. It goes to Phil Knight, chairman of the board. Where does he take that money? Not to Brooklyn, not to Little Haiti, Miami, not to Chirac. He takes it to Oregon, and he educates a whole slew of people who are going to help him continue the divide between us and the top. That money goes in the hands of politicians who appoint police chiefs that neglect to clean up the corruption in that department. It goes to politicians who appoint district attorneys who drag their feet when it comes to prosecuting George Zimmerman after he gunned down Trayvon Martin. It's right here. Phil Knight, 2016, $89,000 to the National Republican Congressional Committee, $33,000 to the National Republican Senatorial Committee, $10,000 to House Speaker Paul Ryan. So who's the race traitor? Who's betraying you? You sacrifice time with your family, your kids. You get on that train. You get on that bus. You go to work all day just to come home and give that money away. Give that power away to your enemy without them having to earn it. Last year, Kevin Plank, the CEO of Under Armour, said, yo, Donald Trump is an asset, and he has donated to his movement. So every time you put on an Under Armour sneaker, shirt, you are literally funding the movement you say you don't care about, the movement you say is there to help keep you down. I read something the other day that had me really offended. It said black consumers are the best to have because you don't even have to market to them and they want your product. Man, I was offended as hell, but it's the truth. When I'm cycling through the XXL or the Source magazine, I don't see any advertising for Rolex watches, but we all want one. When I'm standing for the Fortran at Utica, I don't see any advertisement for Bentleys and Maseratis, but we all want one. So before you wave a finger at Dak Prescott, it's time we all take a look in the mirror. Because Havoc and Prodigy of Mobb Deep told me, yo, it ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. If you bout this movement, it's a lifestyle, man. It's not just a hashtag. Something to think about, man. I'm going to take a quick break. You're listening to WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly. The NCAA came out with some new rules. I think it was a response to everybody calling for an adjustment in college basketball. There's been a lot of corruption, a lot of money going around. And people say, yo, we got to do something. NCAA is corrupt. Things are bad. And my stake first off on NCAA, my stance. Should we pay athletes or not? No. Yes. Maybe. Like, I don't care, son. I don't like that conversation around should we pay athletes. Because no matter what they're going to give you, it's still going to be pennies compared to what's being raked in. Right? If they give you $500 a month, $1,000 a month, $1,500, $2,000 a month, what's that equate to? You going to buy your mama a house on the hill? No. What I wanted the athletes to do is set their sights higher on whatever pennies you want to argue for. The college experience, there's so much you could really take advantage of. There's so much more you should be fighting for. If I'm one of these college basketball players and I play for Duke University, University of North Carolina, the minute I sign with that school, my Twitter followers multiply. I'm playing in front of 15,000 people every other night. That's more valuable than whatever paycheck they're going to give me. The players need to be focusing on using those opportunities to their advantage. Yo, coach, we got an alumni in our base who is in movie, who's the top lawyer in New York, who's the top doctor. Get him on the phone. Take advantage of those resources. You see, so much focus is put on the athletic and the weight room. Nah, son, you got the world at your fingertips. So that conversation, it always made me uneasy. Because whatever they pay, whatever they're going to pay you is still not enough to buy your mama a house on the hill. Right? Back in the day when athletes were looking to break in to the mainstream colleges because they weren't allowed because of segregation, they wanted to go to those schools not because of their weight room, because of their education, because of the network they can tap into. And I don't want the athletes to lose sight of that. So the pay, people say the NCAA is corrupt. I mean, it's no more corrupt than Starbucks. If you consider Starbucks corrupt and Nike and Under Armour and Apple, in any business, there's going to be somebody at the top making money. There's people at the bottom. There's an intern at Apple that's not getting paid. Because the company is raking in dough doesn't mean he's privy to that money. So I never had an issue. It didn't bother me either way if college athletes make bread or not, because there's so much more they can be taken advantage of. Especially if you're one of these top prospects. If you're somebody, you know you're going to the league. You know you're going to the NFL. Yo, use that campus. That should be your praying ground. If I'm about to be the next top quarterback, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go into a law class, and I'm going to corral all these kids. Yo, y'all could be my interns. Y'all could be my help. Help me break down these contracts. Help me understand negotiating so when I do get to the league, my agent won't rob me. Right? That's more valuable than whatever pennies you're arguing for. And if the athletes did want to fight for something, how about you fight for the opportunity to continue to be an entrepreneur while you're in college? Because the NCAA has rules and regulations against that. How about you fight for the opportunity? Yo, I'm playing in front of 20,000 people. I got 150,000 Twitter followers at 19 years old. Yo, let me cash in on my podcast. Let me start a t-shirt business. That's real value. Not a freaking stipend y'all dudes arguing for. That ain't enough. And another thing with the NCAA corruption, and Condoleezza Rice said this recently, and I'm glad she did. The NCAA has caught a lot of flack because these one-and-done kids, they come in and they stick around. We know they're not really interested in the school or the education. The NCAA got a lot of flack for that. Condoleezza Rice said, excuse me, guys, that's an NBA rule. It's the NBA that has an age limit that is keeping these young, talented kids out. It's not us. It's not us. The NCAA said, fine, take them. Because we're doing just fine without LeBron James, somebody that never went to college. We're doing just fine without Kobe Bryant and Kevin Garnett, people that never went to college. We're doing just fine. The championship game MVP this last year was DiVincenzo or something. Did he even get drafted? Who knows? The NCAA said, we're doing just fine. We've taken a lot of flack for the NBA and for other folks. So that's my stance on the NCAA. Now, for the rules that came out. Let's see. Allow player. One rule. The NCAA is going to allow players to come back to school and get their education paid for if they play at least 2 years at the school and they come back within 10 years. That's big. That's monumental. I like that rule a lot. Say you're a kid that comes out, you're playing your junior year, you have a monster year. But the word around town is you're probably not you're not an NBA prospect. You just happen to have a magnificent year. Well, with the support of knowing that your college education is always going to be there, that affords you the opportunity to go overseas. Go to Spain and try to land you a big payday or for your junior year or for that big year you had. Like, yo, let me see if I can land me a $1.4 million deal from China. Right? So you go to China. People are going to say, well, yo, what about the education? Now you have an answer for them. If I come back within 10 years, they're going to pay for me. So I like that a great deal. I like that a lot. That gives kids a support system. Now they could try different things. They could try different avenues. Before they were just by themselves alone in the dark. Now they have a support system, something to fall back on. That's what we always ask. Well, what about the school? The NCAA is providing an answer. And the schools are saying, well, who's going to pay for it? NCAA said, yo, we're going to put a fund together. All right, that was one rule. I like that a lot. They're going to increase the punishment for coaches, presidents and athletic directors. That is another great rule. Because when we see a scandal go down, like we saw at Louisville, the coach said, yo, I don't know. It was this underling, one of my junior coaches. The president said, I don't know. The athletic director said, I don't know. But now with the NCAA holding these guys liable, that incentivizes coaches, athletic directors, presidents to be more diligent in their hiring process. Okay, you coming down with them, so you better pay more attention to who you hiring. You better know. You better make it your business to know. And with longer suspensions, yeah, you're going to think twice about committing a crime this time. You're going to think twice about committing an infraction. They're going to try to keep me out for 5 years. Man, it ain't worth it. We ain't giving that kid $50,000. We ain't doing that. And another rule. It said agents will be allowed to represent players in the offseason and pay for expenses tied to professional ambition. So let's say you're a freshman. You just finished your freshman year. You don't know if you want to go to the league. You don't know if you're in between. Having an agent there to represent you, to help pay for expenses, can help you figure out a lot of things. So if you coming out, if you after your first year, you're not sure what kind of prospect you are, you can connect with an agent. He can fly you to Phoenix to talk to the Suns. He can fly you to New York to talk to the Knicks, or fly you to Boston to talk to the Celtics. And sitting with that GM, sitting with those coaches working out for them, that can help you answer a lot of questions. That GM can say, wow, man, you're great. We're going to draft you in the first round. Or the GM may say, you know what? You're not ready yet. But you go back to school, work on X, Y, and Z, and if you're around this time next year, we're going to pick you up. That's valuable information. That's information a player can take and put to use. Like, oh, snap, if I just work on my left hand, the Celtics say they want me next year. So now he has a clear vision. I'm going back to school, and I'm going to do X, Y, Z, and I'm going to be better. Now he has relationships with those general managers, with those coaches. And that could pay great dividends in his future. See, what the NCAA is doing is giving you resources, giving you an opportunity to collect information. The more information you have, the better off you'll be. You might have been a borderline player, but now that the agent is allowed to take you around to talk to professional teams, talk to coaches, talk to scouts, that could be the difference between you getting picked up or not. Like, he's not really a big talent, but I love his personality. Let's pick him up. We could sell him to our fan base. He could do things. He could be a leader in the locker room. That's going to pay great dividends. Now, of course, there are questions about these rules. Another rule is a kid is allowed to go to a draft combine, and then if he's not drafted, he can go back to school. Well, Kentucky coach John Calipari said, what if I gave a scholarship away? Where's he going to go? Well, for one, if he played at least 2 years for you, he can go back to school tuition free. That's why I mentioned that rule first. But let's say there is no scholarship for him. We're asking the NCAA to figure out all the issues in the world. You know what I'm saying? There is a point in life for everybody where tough decisions have to be made. So maybe he doesn't get to go back to school and play ball. He just goes to school, takes his class, works out on the side, goes to the D League. But at least he has the resources and the information to make informed decisions. These kids will no longer be in the dark. And I like that a lot. I like that a great deal. That's WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly. I'm out.